Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SFB Online, Fed Coming Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us. We have a talkcast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. Call ID is 17722. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the TalkShoe website at www.talkshoe.com, search for call ID 17722, and you will find us there. Remember to bring your Chrome or Chromium-based browser, because the other ones don't work so well. If they work at all, I've not checked lately. And of course, if you want to listen in live on Twitch, we are still there. You know, we co-broadcast on Twitch and on TalkShoe, so that on Twitch, it's twitch.tv/SFU on call. And I will be keeping an eye on the chat room there. So if you want to talk to me there, that's fine. Just to let you know, it's a little delayed. And I'm sure there's a particular reason for that. I noticed that when I'm streaming. If you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to reach me via Twitter, my account there is SFUOnCall also. And I have a personal account called Paul Franz, so if you want to follow me, that's fine. Just remember, I love being Catholic, and also I love my O's and, of course, technology. So if none of those really are your fancy, and you still want to follow me, that's your prerogative. Just wanting a heads up. Of course, they have the tertiary account, which is my Franz Games account, which I announce things for Warlord and for SFB Online and any other things that I'm working with. And of course, this lovely TalkCast gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around that, including the SFU On Call website. That's sfuoncall.com. And of course, there's not much news from A to B this week. It's all pretty quiet over there. Actually, it's been 2 weeks because I, of course, had my gallbladder surgery last week. And I'm doing quite well at this point. I still have my checkup next week. And, you know, I'm healing up quite nicely from the surgery. Moving on to the SFB Online tournament, The Sapphire Star Tournament 5 is starting. I'll be setting up the tree for this on the website this weekend. I just got the email today, and I have not had a chance to actually set up the tree. There's a quick rundown of what ships you can find on that. One Andro, one Fed. Unfortunately, the Andro will be facing the Fed, so the Andro is going to die invariably on this one. And then we have two ISC. We have three Hydrans, two in the Black Shark, one in the Auxiliary Battle Cruiser, one Saltorian, one Orion, two Klingons, and of course, we have a Romulan who's flying the KR, which is not a bad ship. Overall, when it comes to cloaking, it's in the middle. When it comes to efficiency of cloaking, but also it has wonderful turn mode B versus, you know, turn mode C and turn mode D of the other two ships, so that should be interesting to see. Actually, that's one of the ships I probably should fly myself. Because last time I flew a Romulan, it was the Firehawk, the Terminal Firehawk, and I didn't do too bad in it. Didn't do too great in it, but you know, didn't do too bad in it. You know, I was able to fight my way and die in the end, but you know, I put up a good fight. Moving on to Starfleet Warlord. Yes, we actually have some news for Starfleet Warlord. I released a new version of the SFW Aid, version 1.0.2. There's actually two minor fixes. One to fix the checking of the CT command to make sure that it is correct. Now that is corrected. Also, the link command now works, meaning that when you press the F7 key, it blanks things out properly and allows you to actually enter in orders into all the fields that have been blanked out. So you're good to go there now with new aid. Oh, a reminder that we have a initial person who installed it on Windows, you need to uninstall the previous edition, and then you can reinstall. You can install the new version. You won't lose anything in the meantime by uninstalling and reinstalling. So don't worry about that. Moving on and onward and forward, not much library progress. Actually, there is some progress, but it was not for converting, but for adding. We have a lot of the Carnivons are now part of the library, which is awesome to have them now available. And there have been, of course, some corrections in the past couple weeks, including there was a moving cost issue with the Romulan SPU, but which has all been fixed at this moment in time. So, and sorry, with FinCom library progress, there hasn't been any, and that's just because I've been surgery and everything else. Just haven't had a chance to get caught up on that, and I apologize both for Chris and Sebastian and, of course, everyone out there who's waiting for the latest stuff, including the X ships. Okay, well, with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, William and Paul Friends, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, you got me, you got Dave, and of course, that's it. Which is actually a good thing, because of tonight, I'm going to discuss the Starfleet Warlord 8. I know not everyone is interested in the Starfleet Warlord, but I figure I probably should go over some of the things if you have not been in the Facebook group. You might not have seen what's going on there. And also because the developer who's working on this, you know, I have not really been talking about him much. I've alluded to him a few times. I might have mentioned his name, but I have alluded to the project. But, you know, I want to show a little more about that. Also show what we have currently, and so that you can see what a change this is going to be. I'm really excited about this. Dirk, which is the guy who's doing the new version, is quite interested himself. But I figured the best place to start when it comes to the future is to start to tell you what it is now. Now, given that, if you look on your wonderful, beautiful screen, don't mind me, I'm just going to minimize this. I should have done that earlier, and I apologize for not doing that earlier. Boop. So, this is what it looks like. You know, what you do is it's an application that you download, install on your machine. Now, there's another one, which is the old version, which is DOS based. So if you have Windows, in theory, you can install the DOS based one, which is completely. Let me see. That's a good idea. Actually, let's see. Do I have that version? Yep, there it is. This is what it looks like. This is the original version of the aid. It's actually quite nice. Okay, bum, bum, bum. Cover information. Let's look at this one for a moment. Okay, that looks. This shows you information about that order sheet. You enter in the information here. You could see all the kind of information about the ship. You know, if you want to, you can click. Man, this one, just go like that. You can do a scan ship. You know, there's all kinds of orders that you can enter. You can just do this and type in orders. And so forth. You keep on doing that. You can clear the moves. You know, and it's gone. And then after you're all done entering these orders, what you do is, okay, you get out of here, go to the order sheet, and then you'd make create the computerized, boom, 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 and it then generates the computerized sheet. But that's the original one that was done many, many years ago, and to the point where Bruce Grahl, unfortunately, is one of those true tragedies of the biggest, the what's called the big hard drive crash. And that is, Bruce did not have backups for his hard drive, and the hard drives went belly up. Everything that he was working on at that time was gone. Actually, he did have some backups, but obviously, because we still have the Starfleet Warlord. If he didn't have any backups at all, he would not even have Starfleet Warlord. It'd be gone in history. So let me just, okay, let's just close that. Okay, that's what the DOS version was. Now, and as you can still, as I said, if you're Windows, you can still run that. And as, in this case, the Mac, I'm running it under DOSBox, and it runs perfectly fine. Obviously, it took a couple of settings when it comes to the environment variables, so it works properly, but it works great. You know, no issue. If you prefer a text based UI, there you go. Now, for a more of a GUI approach, we've got the Starfleet Warlord 80, which I created many, many years ago. Have not done much work on it for a while. The one thing I had planned on doing, which is having some people log in and get their orders from that. I've not really kept up on copying people's game files up to the server and so forth. You know, so that doesn't really work. So I would never recommend anyone do that. Running it, but you can run it on offline mode. And what you do, you'd open up whatever game you want. And obviously, if you wanted to, you can delete games so they're gone. You don't no longer see them. But when you get your, what you would do is when you get your game file, you go here and you do input file. And then you find your zip file. And then you click on that and open it up. And it imported into the game that was here. Now, it could be a new game or it could be an existing game. You know, but just importing the game file itself actually tells you what game it belongs to. So that makes it, in my mind, it makes it really easy to get started. You know, normally when you first start up a game, you'll get something like this. It'll ask you to enter in your player name. To this day, I'm not sure why I did this. I think it was just maybe the organizational kind of thing, which is you can actually, in theory, switch between different players. I have Chuck, Demo Player, and Paul. So, and I'm with Paul. I don't know what I have as a Demo Player at the moment. It's possible the Demo Player actually has more information because I might have used that for YouTube videos. I don't remember, to be honest. It's been a while. But okay, this is all the information about the current ships that you have. You know, the name of your ships, the ID, which as you saw in the DOS, in the DOS based one, actually it's three different columns, which is you have your Empire, C means civilian. That's the one's considered Empire. Then the designator, you know, the kind of ship. Is, you know, going frigate, you know, you got B-10V. And then you have the designation, which is, you know, a number just, you know, to delineate between the different ships. And that's actually quite important because of that's what tells the engine where it is. You know, what ship you're actually having the orders from. So, you know, you can see the strengths, the often the defensive, the hit points, and the speed. Sorry, I will be right back. My cat's gonna annoy me to no end. Just give me a sec. I am back. Sorry for that quick interruption. You know, it's best just to get the cat out, and because I'm sure you guys can hear cat pawing at the door. So that will stop that. So you know, this is the information that you can look at. If I had multiple years here, you actually could see the change over time, what ships you had, which positions, locations they were at, what the strengths were. You can do a summary. This is something I added a while back, which is akin to the aid, you know, the DOS-based aid, so that you can see a summary of the different locations, number of ships in that location, the total AF, which is the attack factor with options. Options are things like PFs, drones, marines, things like that. And then of course you have the defensive factor here and defensive factor with options. Obviously this is a huge fleet here with over 2,000 attack factor, over 3,700 with, if you include the options, and the defense of 2,119 and a defensive with options of 3,387. So to say the very least, it's a pretty powerful hex. Not sure what was in that hex at that moment in time, but it is what it is. Now, for each one of the ships, you could actually select info. There it is. And you can find out, you know, the individual information about the ship. Things, okay. It says an integration ship, and the current legendary officers are the science. You know, you can have a captain, the weapons, engineering, navigation, doctor, science officer, marine, or ace. And then, of course, the different strengths. You know, how many T-bombs you have, how many drones you have, how many fighters, how many PFs. And your current speed, and also your max speed. Current crew and max crew. So let's show you the B-10. B-10 is a heck of a lot stronger. You know, doesn't have a variant. It's not a variant, i.e., it's not a. Doesn't have that stuff. But you can have a maximum of 24 fighters, and there's only 21 right now. 3 T-bombs out of 6. This is weird. 16 drones out of 0. And that's not quite right. 16 speed and commandos are 0. So this is all information. Including, you notice you can have... See, the MRS are prime team. Those are options that you can buy and add to the ship. And then, of course, you go to the orders. And you can see this. This is the orders for this turn. Don't mind me. This one is junk. I was testing out to make sure that the link one actually worked because of one of my players mentioned, oh, the link doesn't work. And I was like, okay, I'll work on it this week. And I come to work on it and come to find out I already fixed it. It tells you, you know, how long it's been since I actually worked on it last. So, okay. So, with, you know, and you can do the same thing. You can go here and you can enter in your orders. 5. And, oops. 0906. 0907. Oops. 0907. It's important. And oops, obviously that's an invalid move. That's why it's red. And 09, 09, 08. So, but that's nice little features. You know, obviously you can type in your different orders. Okay, I want purchase order for a ship. Then give me an Andromedan. Give me a over here. Give me a Dominator. Okay, that's good. But let's just say if I try to go, purchase a ship, you know, Andromedan CA. Well, there's no Andromedan CA. So what happens? It stays red. So that's that verification step that says, okay, is this a valid order? And that's one of those things that, in my mind, is quite useful for players. The idea being is that it will limit those orders that are completely and utterly invalid. There are some orders which I'm still working on it when it comes to validation, because of that's the problem with any program, that validation is really hard. Especially if you've ever seen Starfleet Warlord, some of the validation is very hard. The hardest that I've ever seen is for the messaging, because you can add a message that you can then send out to everybody, or you can send out to a person in this sector. If you don't know where who is in that sector, that's always a good message to send, because of instead of asking around, like, hey, are you in the sector? Oh, are you in the sector? Are you in the sector? You know, that which is, might be a bad thing overall, and people find out, okay, where are you? That might not be such a good thing. So we have that, you know, the validation there. Now, when it's all done, you just click save, and it'll go, okay, save the orders. Boom, saves an order file, just like the DOS-based aid. And if you want to, you can say, oh, you know, I really didn't mean to make all those modifications. Just click discard, and all the changes that were here are gone. And that's, you know, that happens. In my mind, that would happen if you would actually enter in your orders, change your orders, and go, nope, just throw it all away. You know, I won't go back to what I had previously. So when you close that, it automatically will save it. But if you click discard, it will blow it away. You know, and then you can view the reports here. You know, this is the text-based report, so you can see everything here from, you know, where the positions are, where the, you know, this is your sites, you know, was you heard on subspace, the action that occurred, you know, in this case, you know, traded the exchange of 600 ore for FP. And of course, that also, that there's a tax involved in that when you convert between multiple things. You know, then you purchase a couple X ships here, and well, looks like 3 X ships, and then bought also a BF, you know, a BF. I don't remember what BF is. Been a while. And then you can scan, do the scans and so forth. And of course, it's a diehard game. So what it is, you can actually select your own events. And here's some. This is a kind of example of what you'd actually see when it comes to the results. Okay, terrain here, the sector special, it was that. Well, it looked like the Sith Lords might actually hold out and save the besieged site. But in the end, they lost. 4,572 points, that's a lot of defense. Thrown at them. No, that was not, that was the offense thrown at them by KGB. All the defending ships, which was just a star base and a X cruiser, were destroyed in one round of battle. Big surprise, because it basically completely overwhelmed them. So this kind of report sheet that you will see. Now, you can actually, and here this with the scans, this actually what this will show you here would actually it would show the scans that currently have been completed and have been imported into the aid. I'm sorry for those of you not on the video. I totally forgot that you're not gonna. It's not gonna be really a good podcast. I recommend either go to YouTube or go over to twitch.tv and you can watch the video there, because this is gonna be a very visual one. So you just to let you know, I know it's a little late. It's like 20 minutes already into the podcast, and now I'm mentioning this. I apologize, but the whole idea of these aids is to help people, because there is one other way of doing it, which is you can actually take. I'll show you. Let's bring up the report. Now you can take this report. What you can do is print out this part of it. KGD, actually there are individual PDF files which come in the email that gets sent out. This one will show you all the orders, including the number of lines for additional orders that you want. Now, you can then take that, print that out, you can write on the sheet, and then you can either fax it to me, scan it in, send it via email. Actually, I do have a CSV file too that I included, so you can actually enter the orders in via CSV file that I can in. I've got a converter that should work pretty well. Depends on the player, and hopefully they have a consistent way of doing things. But the manual method, the problem with the manual method is it's purely manual, not the CSV file, purely manual, I have to enter them in. What happens in entering in? I might make a mistake. If I make a mistake, then you have two possibilities. You either can accept the mistake that I made and just deal with it, or you can actually ask me to correct it, and I can correct it as best I can. Now, if you say, well, I already had a battle and I lost it because you entered in the orders wrong. Well, I'm sorry. That is the way things are. I'll see what I can do. You might still lose the battle, but I can add back in some of the ships that you lost. That's about as best I can do. I try to do what is fair in those considerations. That's why I would love it to have it so that everything was automated. Everybody used an automated system, because then they can actually have their orders checked. I have no blame when it comes to entering wrong orders. And then, of course, there's the additional hassle for me and, of course, for the player, that what can happen because of those mistakes. Because here, remember one thing about Starfleet Warlord as it stands now. If you've ever played Starfleet Warlord back in the day, back in the day when Bruce was running it, or there's another person who was running it in Europe. I forget who that is. And I apologize for not remembering your name, because I think Bruce told me one time who used to do it in Europe, and that actually got shut down. And obviously these days by play by email, you can have people in Europe and actually have them play. Now, do I actually see any players from Europe at the moment? I don't think so. But anyway, getting back to the difference. Back in the day, what Bruce would do is he'd get the orders and he'd run them in the order that he received them. That's one of the things that I changed when I took over. I went, okay, that to me is completely and utterly unfair. And also then they had this what's called a double move. So that if you got your orders in last, and then Oh, actually, if you basically didn't put in your orders, you could actually put in your orders for that turn, and then you could actually put in your orders for the next turn. You can possibly do that before another person actually got theirs in, and therefore you could get a double move. You know, and which was completely valid back in the day. But that it was completely, in my mind, cheating. Originally I had it set up so that it was unlimited number of ships. Actually, there's a problem with the engine with unlimited ships that it will blow up if there's too many ships. So, and I originally was going to have it so that when you enter in your orders, you know, if you had so many pages, when it comes to, these were manual orders, you pay more. But then I thought about that. It's like, you know, that is unfair for those people who can pay the extra money and those compared to those people who cannot pay the extra money just to have it so they can have more ships. So I went, okay, fine. We're going to stop this nonsense. I increased the maximum from 200 to 250, and now all games play with a limit of 250 ships. That's so that everyone has a limit of how many ships they can play with, and they actually have to manage that limit. That's another one of those things that this, it adds to me flavor to the game. Now, in theory, there is no limit to the size of your fleet, though there kind of is, because the size of, and if you're talking about a real system, one that takes it in account economic factors in addition to the number of ships, because if you can't actually maintain that many ships, you actually should, you know, bring the number of ships down or limit the number of ships you have. But most people, they don't have to do that, you know. And economically, when it comes to Starfleet World, there's no economic pressures. And more importantly, most ships, when it comes to SFB themselves, usually that is limited, and that's limited by command and control. Those systems that actually allow you to... Sorry, my cat. I have two cats. Actually, I have four, but that's neither here nor there. It can actually, the idea of command and control in SFB, so that you can't have just like 100 frigates, which might be the optimal when it comes to firepower. So you can have the largest attack factor if you buy, let's say, 100 frigates. I don't think that's the case, but you know, that's the whole idea, that you can actually do that. But given that, so it's like, you know, that's not realistic. So adding that, the limit of 250 ships really helps out a lot, both with me, and also it makes it fair across the board for people. And then, you know, it puts a limit, which to me, that's always the greatest thing ever. Which is the challenge. It puts that extra challenge. It makes you work just a little harder and think a little more, which is, what ships do I have? Which ships do I keep? And of course, because of 250 ship limit, that if you run into the, if you're running close to that limit, okay, what ships do I scrap? Because that's one thing you can do. You can scrap ships, and then you'll get EAPS back for that. But, you know, depending upon, I'm not sure. I forget how many EAPS you get back for scrapping a ship. I'd have to look up the rules. I don't have the rules for Starfleet Warlord memorized like I have for Starfleet Warlord. I mean, Starfleet Battles. Starfleet Battles, you know, even those I don't have memorized, but I have, I know them a heck of a lot better than Starfleet Warlord. You know, because I played it as a test once, so I don't know all the ins and outs of Starfleet Warlord rules. Now, given that, you know, the aid here, the idea is it helps you to enter those orders, helps you manage the games that you are playing. So let's just quit out of this one. And what I want to do is switch over to my Firefox browser. Now, my Firefox browser, Dirk Benjamin Johnson, this is the guy. He's based out of San Jose, California. And he's implementing a web-based Warlord aid. Currently, the way it works is that you import your game file, and then after you import your game file, it can manage everything. So currently, there's no connection directly between him and me when it comes to his website and my website, except for that he basically has created a Starfleet Warlord 80, which is web-based. This is, you know, for change things up so that you can see a nice. Currently, if you have a sector map, it shows you a plain, ordinary black and white sector map. This one's not better. It's a lot more colorful. Now, currently, this is old in that if you notice here for empty spaces, which are ES. It actually has ES in the hexes. And the one thing that I talked to Dirk about after this, actually it might have been before this, just that he hadn't gotten around to changing that, which is, you know, these need to be gone, the ES, so they're just empty hexes. And then have it so that if you see here by the different colors, the different colors are different types of terrain. You know, for this one, see, you got empty space and then nebula, which is basically, so all these hexes are a nebula hexes. And then you have SC, I forget what SC is. And, you know, and that's, so that shows the different kinds of terrain. And they still have, you know, the lettering here for those who don't know what the coloration means. Actually, I recommended to him so that he might want to have a legend so people know when it comes to these, you know, okay, what color means what kind. Now, obviously, you can figure it out by this, but I can see it. A day where people don't want these abbreviations, they just want the colors. But of course, those people who are colorblind, you're gonna want the letters because that's the only way you can know, because you'll just see that it's gray. The only thing you'll be able to tell is whether there's a train in the hex or not. And that's it. Now, as you can see here, this actually, the circle shows a hex that has ships in it. And that ships, here's a fleet information attack factor for that fleet. And of course, obviously this is only made up of one ship, and you can tell, you kind of can see that. You can click on ship view, the whole idea is that you then would see the different ships. I really like this view because of this, these little icons. These icons tell you how many, see these are locations here. Your location's got some enemy locations here also. And these are the different, you know, sectors. This is your ships. This is a sector where you know there's enemy ships. And this has a listing of all your sites, as you can see. They're all here. Actually, I thought there was enemy sites. I think it is. And it splits up, you know, the ships and sites, and then announcements, ads, which are, they're not ads as in, oh, go, you know, sign up for whatever website. These are the quote-unquote ads that are part of the Warlord turn. Those ads are actually useful information to tell you about some like deals for, you know, for buying things. So okay, top 20, which is top 20 corporations and the other things associated with that. But yeah, and of course, GS, of course, is the graveyard. And I told him to use GS because of that's what people actually know is the graveyard. That's the sector abbreviation for graveyard. And that's what everyone knows. Now, in the future, is that something that somebody might want to... Excuse me.
Say hello, kitty.
Hello, kitty.
Okay.
Now, which shows, you know, different kinds of empires and federations, Zini and so forth, what they're described as. And these are your ships, you know, the kind of ships that are, actually, this is the kind of ships that are available. This is like the, a reference sheet of the different ships. You know, you have New Strike Carrier, NCA, this, you know, EAPS is 128. The year that their availability is 175. Speed 4, variants BA. There's actually one thing I got to make sure I point out to Dirk, which is make sure that no kitty. Kitty wants to play my cable. You know, there were PFs, drones, T-bombs, and commandos. So when it comes to the engine actually can see this. It's not part of actually any aid, I don't think. It might be part of the DOS-based aid, but it's also, but you can get it as part of the ship list. That's downloaded from the website. You know, here's, you know, a nice graphical representation of those same ships. You know, they have what's called, he has little cards for them, which is a neat idea. I'm not sure, honestly, how many people actually use that, but I think it is a terrific, terrific idea. Now, okay, click this one. Okay. Hide that. Now, that is the future, which is, you know, Starfleet Warlord, the aid being available as a website. Now, the one thing that I need to check with Dirk, and that's to make sure that it's playable, it's usable on an iPad. Because of... Obviously, certain things can't be done on the iPad. You can't have the hoverovers and so forth on an iPad, but in theory, it should work. Now, I got to check with Dirk to make sure that he keeps that in mind, because as it is, I want, every once in a while, I have to mention this to Dirk, because we have, every 2 weeks, we have a get-together. Where we discuss what I see and we discuss different issues. You know, he shows me what the latest updates are, and that's great. But at the same time, you know, invariably, you know, I'm able to actually log into his local host, you know, i.e. his server that he's running on his computer. We do that via visual code. It's kind of a neat thing to do. You know, the whole idea of that is kind of pair programming without actually having the video, which I think is a great idea, believe it or not. It's a strange idea, but it's a great idea. Which, I, you know, we do that and I'm good. I have not tried doing that by myself to share with somebody else. It's always him who's sharing it with me. But anyhow, the one thing that invariably I run into is that his developers have a nasty habit of working with just Chrome. It's like developing for Internet Explorer back in the day. Saying, okay, well, it's the most popular. Why isn't everyone just using it? Well, there are HTML specifications. And as long as you go by the specifications, in theory, it should work just fine. Now, there's some little tweaks here and there. The important thing is not to tie yourself to functionality that's only built into a single browser. Because if you do that, then you're going to tie yourself to that browser, and anyone who does not have that browser will not be able to use your service. For example, this guy. This guy is an iPhone. And even if I had an Android phone or Android tablet, yes, an Android tablet, you can actually install Chrome. But Chrome is not the only browser. You know, when it comes to even a mobile device, you've got Firefox. Actually, Edge now is Chromium-based, so same thing. And now, of course, the iPad and the iPhone, that's Safari. So you're going to kill the whole, possibly a good bit of the Apple market? Because the whole idea here is not just to have it so it's web-based, but to expand the actual platforms that are now available for use for people who want to play Starfleet Warlord. And then part of that, I have a vision going forward. Now, tough part is focusing on that vision and putting that to fruition. I have done quite a bit of work on it. I just haven't, you know, it's been here and there. Depends upon what I deemed as the most important thing at the moment. And, you know, since it's long term, you know, it doesn't always get, you know, today's work. And, you know, and that is the habit. So it's the whole thing is automated. When, you know, and that's the day I would love to get rid of all of the manual stuff. Now, that's why I'm hoping that things like the iPad, possibly, this would be really great. I'm not sure how many people have watched, you know, the Apple's WWDC, their keynote. One of the things that was available is a new thing called Scribble. Now, Scribble currently, a cat knocked down something from the shelf. Great. I have to look at it and see what he knocked down. But anyway, Scribble allows you to actually take a pen and write in a text field, and it will be converted into text. This is an iPad, I'm not sure if it's available for all. I have to take a look, see at that. Let's see if obviously it works with Apple Pencil. I'm not sure if it works with other things on something other than iPad Pro or even I think the 10.5 non-Pro might work with a pencil. And I'm pretty sure it does work with a pencil. Actually, I think even the iPad, the cheap one, the 329, also works with the pencil. If I recall correctly, I could be wrong on that one. But anyway, the point is that if that's available, then those people who like to enter in the orders by, you know, typing them in, going after my mouse, a cat going after My mouse. Actually, not this one. I got another one over there. Next to on another computer. There's actually two computers in this small office. But just don't even get me started on that, because I think about that every once in a while, because before we moved in here, for those who can see the video, this, they actually had the person before us set up this as a downstairs bedroom. You know, and it's like, this is definitely not a room for being a bedroom. It's more of an office space, you know, and that's what I've been using it for. And it works great for my office space. But anyway, getting back to Starfleet Warlord. You know, so that's all automated. And the vision going forward is to have it so that people can actually run, and hopefully, you know, these play games. You know, some free games that can be run in automated fashion. One-player games, I call them learner games. Basically, it's a 3x3 world game board. And the idea is that you learn how to... The goal of it is to... Currently, it's... The idea is that you've got a 10-turn game. And the person who has the best score, you know, the idea is hopefully have kind of almost competition of who can get the best score of a 10-player game, a 10-turn game, which is a 3x3. In that case, how many sites have you taken control of? How many enemy ships have you killed? Destroyed, sorry. That kind of thing. And how much money do you have? How many EEPs are you currently producing? And that becomes a score, and then you could have a competition. And then also, the great thing about that is that you could actually play individual games to keep you busy on those times when in between going into what's called the big boy game, you know, where you play against people, which I think is the big thing, is where one thing that I've always said, and if you've listened to this podcast long enough, you know I have said this, which is Starfleet Warlord, by its very nature, is not it's me against the world. No, it's not. Me against the world will get you killed fast. It's you against everybody else, but you scheme, you make deals. In some cases, you backstab. You got to be careful with those, just to let you know. Some players take it really personal when you backstab them during a game. They take it really personally. And they might try to get back at you the next game. So, you know, that is the way it is. I don't write the unwritten rules portion of the game. It's just the way people deal with things. You know, obviously, I think that's kind of silly, but it is what it is. You know, but I think, you know, Starfleet World has a good, as I mentioned to Dirk, between SFB Online and Starfleet Warlord, I think Starfleet Warlord has the potential for the biggest growth. And here's the reason why I say that. Starfleet Warlord has the biggest growth potential because of it's not completely tied into Star Trek. Yes, the background material is Star Trek based and Starfleet battles based. That whole Starfleet universe that ADB created. But here's the thing. You don't have to know that universe to play it. You get enough information from the rulebook about it. It's more generic in that nature. And you can have someone who doesn't know about Star Trek, doesn't know about Starfleet Warlords. Now, obviously, that's going to, you know, actually, I was going to say that the way it works, from theory, actually, if you think about it, it could actually be a planetary grid. You know, instead of having ships, you have armies that, you know, with a certain makeup of those army units that you take out, you go from place to place, and they have different strengths, different and so forth. You can weaponize them in a certain way and so forth. And then those sites, now major and minor, those being sites of, you know, planets, though, because those could be cities and towns. You know, you could genericize it to that degree and still use the Warlord engine, you know, to run the whole thing. You know, it still has some, you know, some of the quirks. One of those quirks is the whole idea of mob rules. It's a mob battle. You just have a collection of ships and they just fire on each other. You know, there's no tactics involved. There's no command and control. There's no CIC. You know, there's no limits on the size of your fleets because of CIC. Things like that. You know, so in some cases it makes it completely unrealistic. Well, that's just the way Starfleet Warlord is. You know, as I showed you earlier, with a huge, huge 33 ship fleet is absolutely humongous. Obviously not as large as some, because we just saw that one where they attacked, it was over 4,000 was the attack force, which means possibly some of them got destroyed or at least damaged. So the attack factor was decreased. So, you know, even for that one battle. So Starfleet World has a bright, bright future, you know, and it's really awesome. I can't wait to see it, you know, see how Dirk presents it and how people play it. You know, actually, that's one thing I will be doing this week, which is I am going to create a vote kind of thing, a survey kind of thing for the people who are on Facebook, so I can say, okay, what kind of browser do you currently use? Because a great thing about Facebook, everyone uses a browser. Plain and simple. You know people use a browser. In theory, you can use a browser. You can use the internet without a browser, but I don't think anyone does these days. So, anyhow, I'll wrap it up there. So, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.